before pulling the plug and taking a leap of faith into something new, you also have work colleagues who you probably really like, and you're in the trenches together, you know, taking care of patients who you probably also really like. There were definitely aspects of that job that were very aligned with my mission as a psychiatrist and my desire to help people. But ultimately, I left because I realized I couldn't do what was most needed. And that was really to be able to give preventative care to parents and families before their kids were in crisis.
If I can start a short-term rental business and do well with that, why can't I open my own private practice, right? Like, that was the logic. It was like, I've done this thing, which is totally out of left field. Now let me do what's actually in my zone of genius and practice obesity medicine the way that I see fit. It's that gateway vehicle to doing what you really love.
What if you could reclaim hours of free time each week, create legacy building wealth, and devote more energy to your passion projects without giving up on your career as a life-saving MD? Dr. Vikram Raya is a functional cardiologist, high-performance coach, and real estate expert, is here to give you the tools, strategies, and solutions you need to transform your life, unlock your limitless potential, and achieve greatness, all while freeing up your precious time. Welcome to Limitless MD. Let's dive in.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Limitless MD. I'm your host, Vikram Ryan. Today, I have two special guests. I got Dr. Mona Sodhi and Dr. Marissa Caudill. They are co-founders of SuperDocTech, which is a new platform that's going to revolutionize how doctors practice medicine and really get their message out to the world. So, guys, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so excited here. You guys are physicians, you guys are entrepreneurs, you guys are sort of influencers, and now you guys are tech founders. How does that feel?
Wild.
And I think somewhere in the distance, I did hear a real estate whisper and perhaps real estate investors. So there's so much to dig into here. So cool. And Mona, I love your name because my wife's name is Mona. So there you go. So where in the country are you guys beaming in from, and how did you guys meet?
Yeah, I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, and Marissa's in Santa Monica, California, and Marissa actually owns an investment property here in Phoenix. So we were in a similar real estate group, and we just met up one day because I think you were checking on your property.
And I was.
Met up a few years ago and hit it off, and we had the same kind of entrepreneurial spirit. And then a few years later, we came together to form SuperDocTech.
Yeah, but if you had asked me when we met, Mona, if we would be founding a company together, It's really interesting how entrepreneurial spirits find each other, right? I mean, now we joke that she's my work wife. We talk to each other every day on Zoom for the last few months, and it's been wonderful. It's so exciting to start something with someone who's aligned with your vision.
So, you know, I have the privilege of bringing on different people onto this show where some people are later in their journey, some people are in the middle of the journey. I get to hang out with you guys at the beginning of your journey for SuperDocTech. So before this company, SuperDocTech, which we'll introduce to all the physicians and entrepreneurs who are listening, let's go back in time and say, okay, you guys finished medical school, you got into your physician jobs. Let's start with you, Mona. What was your physician job and what did that look like and how did it evolve to what you're doing today?
Yeah, that's a great question. So initially, I was an academic hospitalist, and this was about a decade ago. Moved across the country and kind of fell into the startup world, working for different telemedicine-based companies, doing different types of telemedicine, consulting, and whatnot. I pitched doing obesity medicine to them before obesity medicine was cool, and I got shot down quite a bit. Nobody really was interested in bringing obesity to the masses. And this was in like 2020. And so I just kept saying, hey, guys, I've got this great idea. I want to bring this education to the public. And they were like, maybe not now, maybe later. And you know, later never comes with some of these bigger corporate entities. And so increasingly, I had this vision that was like, I'm just going to do obesity medicine on my own. And it took me a long time. It took me about 5 years to actually light that fire and just get it going. To open my own obesity medicine practice and practice the way that I thought was fit. But then it was so hard.
Can I pause right there?
Yeah.
So I have so many people who are traditional doctors, but they have this itch to go and do something more wellness or functional or integrative oriented, but they're scared. They're not sure. Like, How did you leave a safe, cushy hospitalist job and then start making your way toward this obesity medicine?
So there wasn't any one thing other than just knowing that this was my passion, and knowing that the longer I delayed, nothing more was going to happen. If that time was just going to keep on passing by and the regret was just going to keep on building. And then I thought, what's the worst thing that can happen? I could fail. Right? I could just fall flat on my face and I'm okay with that. I got to a place in my career and my journey where I thought failure is not a bad thing. I think a lot of us were raised in households where failure was a really bad thing and you didn't want to fail at anything you did. You had to excel at everything. But I think once you get out of your comfort zone and take that leap of faith to do the thing that really lights you up, that's when you grow. And so when I realized that, that's when I took that leap of faith, opened my own practice. And I was not afraid of failing at that point. I said, if I fail, I can always go back, right? Can always get a job as a physician. That's the great thing about it, right? It's job security for a lot of us. And so I just knew that if everything went down the drain, I'd just get a job.
That's awesome. Guys, listen to what she just said. Failure is just feedback. It's data. Like, she was shut down by a lot of the startups. But probably a lot of that information she gathered is in the back part of her hippocampus that allowed her to then use it for her startup, right? So it's you need to recycle your failure and use it as the stepping stones to your success. So that's awesome, Mona. So when did you start your micro practice of obesity?
Yeah, it's been a year. Since actually launching my brick and mortar practice, mm-hmm. And it's been fantastic since, you know, utilizing all the tools that we have now. But what I was saying before was at the very beginning, every step felt so hard. It was like finding an EMR, finding a marketing company that promised to, you know, up my SEO, finding malpractice insurance. Every little step felt really hard, especially the marketing steps. And so once we started using High Level and specifically SuperDoc Tech, that's when things got a lot easier. I had more clarity and more energy to actually devote to patient care and delivering the type of care that I wanted to.
That's awesome. So you had gaps in your knowledge. You filled them with different strategies and support, and you're able to make your way through. And even though it's something you've never done, I'm assuming they didn't teach you about marketing in medical school.
No, there were no courses. There was nothing like that in medical school or after even. There was no CME on it even.
Right.
But I think it should be a mandatory like business 101 course in every medical school. I mean, this is important stuff. If you want to go out on your own, you've got to learn this stuff. I mean, now I've got tons of books and all this stuff on it, but gosh, just in a short time, I learned how powerful software can be and just having the right software, right? And making that work for you.
Cool. I'm going to switch over here to Marissa now. So you were in Santa Monica. Let me tell you about your origin story. So you were a psychiatrist. I know you've done parent coaching. You've done all these amazing things. Tell me how your traditional upbringing as a psychiatrist, how did that transition to where you are now?
Sure. So I finished my training. I'm a little older than Mona. I finished about 12, 13 years ago. And I'm an MD PhD by training. So I was very much in the ivory tower thinking that I was going to stay affiliated with the university and be a researcher. But in 2013, when I was finishing my training, I also had welcomed my first child about 7 months before that. So I was shifting roles in major ways, like many women do in medicine. You know, we put off childbearing until we're at a stage where we feel we can do it. So by that point, I was in my mid-30s and I was facing, do I stick around as a postdoc and take a salary cut? Or do I take my newly minted status as a very valuable board certified child psychiatrist and go get a job that pays a lot of money? And I had a newborn and I wanted to earn some money and pay for his daycare. So I took the job in community mental health part-time because, again, like Mona said, I had that fear of going out on my own. But then I'd also built a private practice in 2013. And I did that for about 5.5 years. I left the community mental health 20-hour-a-week gig that was giving me health insurance after about 15 months because my private practice took off so quickly. Mm. And then I was working, you know, well over 40 hours a week and it was just too much. So what I found with my private practice the first time around, and again, this is back in 2013, nobody was talking about virtual assistants. Nobody was talking about software with automation tools. There were no AI receptionists, you know, so I was part-time and I had the mindset that I wasn't Well, it wasn't, I don't know. I guess it was kind of the mindset, I'm not worth paying a receptionist or an assistant because I'm only working however many hours a week, you know, 15 hours a week. So I'll just do it myself because I can, and I'll probably do it faster and I can do it better. But the problem there is that when you have your own, you know, as a psychiatrist, right, I just put my name on the door and it's, my office is open. So then I'm answering the phone, I'm juggling the appointment cancellations and rescheduling, I'm doing all the billing by hand, I'm doing all the bookkeeping. So it became a ratio of tasks that I didn't like that exceeded the tasks that I actually did like, which was taking care of my patients and clinic time. So when I welcomed my second child in 2016, I was already thinking like, I don't know if I want to keep doing this. It wasn't that enjoyable, even though it should be. It's private practice. You have lots of freedom. And there were definitely things I liked about it. But I decided that I should go back to a structured system. So I took a job with Kaiser Permanente in 2018. And I did that job for 4 years and 4 months thinking, maybe if I just go to work and, you know, punch the clock from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. and don't have anything to worry about afterwards, that will be better. And it wasn't better. You know, I saw lots of patients. It was like another residency training. When I left that position, there were over 1,800 patients who had me assigned as their psychiatrist after 4 years and 4 months. It was very busy, but it was really hard to leave. And I'm sure many of your listeners can relate to that when you're talking about the mindset shifts that have to happen before pulling the plug and taking a leap of faith into something new. You also have work colleagues who you probably really like, and you're in the trenches together, you know, taking care of patients who you probably also really like. There were definitely aspects of that job that were very aligned with my mission as a psychiatrist and my desire to help people. But ultimately, I left because I realized I couldn't do what was most needed. And that was really to be able to give preventative care to parents and families before their kids were in crisis. Mm-hmm. I was just there to put out the fires once the kids were really depressed or really anxious.
I'm sensing a similar journey for both of you. Like Mona wanted to help patients, you know, who already were afflicted with obesity, but also there's probably people who are pre-obese or like going down the road, or they have the risk factors, or maybe pre-diabetic or whatever. And she wanted to address them upstream. You wanted to address these concepts upstream as well. So that's pretty cool that you guys have that mindset to go and try to solve things before they become an issue.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that's very good.
And so you guys met in a real estate meetup. So it sounds like you're both in real estate. Tell me about that. Why real estate?
That's a great question. I kind of fell into that years ago around the pandemic again. I got into short-term rental investing, thought we'd do some long-term stuff, but we both found each other kind of doing some short-term rental deals. As you know, I think you're in that space too, right, Vikram? And you know how exciting it could feel. But then
I would say the real estate really allowed me to then do all my passions, you know, because it created that income stream, and then that created the net worth that needed for me to unload. So, you know, I think it's a gateway drug, if you will, real estate to other things.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of unleashed the entrepreneur, I would say, because I kept thinking, if I can start a short-term rental business and do well with that, why can't I open my own private practice, right? Like that was the logic. It was like, I've done this thing, which is totally out of left field. Now let me do what's actually in my zone of genius and practice obesity medicine the way that I see fit. So yeah, that's a great way of putting it, that it's that gateway vehicle to doing what you really love.
So what I'm sensing is this. So you guys were in the system. You got trained in it and you did the system. Then you're like, let's break out of the system. You open up your own practices. So congratulations. But then you learned about entrepreneurship, perhaps through real estate and other things. And then you combine entrepreneurship with your practices to solve a problem. And that problem, I guess the solution is superdoctech.com, which is an interesting name. I'd love to see where you came up with that name and the concept. But like, sounds like you wanted to solve a problem for people, but I'm assuming like many entrepreneurs, you had to solve it for yourself. Is that where this started?
Yes. So I actually found Go High Level on my own as part of my parent coaching.
For those of you who don't know what Go High Level is and things like Go High Level, perhaps you guys can give a quick primer.
Yeah. So essentially, it's a huge software solution that is used for small businesses to do many kinds of things, whether it's their social media scheduling, their task management, assigning incoming calls or text messages or emails to different team members. It is a very robust CRM, which stands for Customer Relationship Management Tool, which is like email on steroids, where you can, you know, essentially all the emails that you get from all the big companies are sent by a CRM tool. You know, it's a mass email that looks like it's personalized to you. They know things about you based on what you've clicked on before, what you've purchased before, and they're gearing their marketing towards you based on that. So it's all of those things for the everyman, essentially. You know, anyone with a small business can use this, whether you own a pizza shop or a hairdressing studio or like you're a physician. And what I realized when I was using this with another agency was you can enable HIPAA and you can then have essentially something that does all the things you wish your EMR would do, but it doesn't do, like keep track of your patients and when they were last seen and follow up with them. And certain businesses do this very well already, like the med spa businesses. I think they've got very robust CRM. They're not missing a chance to tell me that I'm late on re-upping my Botox. You know, I get those text messages all the time. But when it comes to my physician, I don't get a message if I don't go back for my physical. You know, I don't know about you. My dentist does a better job, honestly, than my medical doctor does.
The dentists are good at this.
The dentists are good at it, but we're not so good at it as physicians. So I think there's a lot of opportunities. And then I basically went to Tony Robbins' Business Mastery and realized that although I had a practice, I didn't have a business that was scalable. And then I realized what I was using and the potential power to be able to bring this to other physicians like me, because I know I'm not alone. And we have found that that is true. We're meeting lots and lots of wonderful physicians who are joining us who have visions to build something really beautiful and wonderful, but didn't know how to make it happen. Because a lot of the tools that are out there do one thing really well, but they don't talk to each other in the way that you need them to be able to have a cohesive space for your business to live and grow and thrive. And that's what SuperDoc Tech gives people, one logon where they can see all the messages for all their contacts, send all the emails and newsletters, keep all the courses there, do all their social media scheduling, track everybody in an opportunity pipeline to know who's bought what. It's great.
So Mona, would it have been helpful to have something like this when you were first starting your practice?
Absolutely. I say that almost every day. I just wish I had it at the onset, because having all the different types of software like Kajabi and MailChimp and ManyChat, Calendly, piecing it all together is mentally exhausting. It does take up time, but it's really that mental energy that you need to work on preserving as a practice owner so that you can direct that energy into your patient care. So yes, Vikram, I wish I had something like SuperDoc Tech when I started, just to have everything all housed under one piece of software and just one login, to just like literally one click of a button, you're in social media, another click, I'm in my newsletter. And all of this is automated, which is the beautiful thing. So I have a VA that logs on into my system for me, and they automate my social media posts, my newsletters, everything. I'm not thinking about that. Whereas before, I would literally drive to work, get on my cell phone and start, you know, taking a live video on Instagram, trying to think of content on the spot. I mean, that's pretty exhausting every day as a physician who's not used to doing that, right? So automations, I think, are key. I think it's the path forward in terms of using AI and a software like what we're doing. It just really takes a lot of the burden off of you. And we're really blessed to have found this, I think.
So you found a solution, you customize it for physicians, you've scaled it, you've added your own tweaks and bells and whistles to it. And now it's a product. Who would you say it serves? And if anyone else as a physician wants to do a startup, maybe I'll ask this as a second question really, but keep this in your mind, is, you know, how do they go about trying to start a company like you guys did? But let's start with first, like, who is this technology for?
Yeah, so we actually just met. Mona and I have only met in person since starting this company twice, once in February when we were at a conference, and once last week.
So it's
so we live on Zoom together.
It's possible to have, you know, a sister from another mister that you get and then get things going. Okay.
It's pretty crazy. When we started this, I have to say, I mean, I think there's a lesson just in that if you believe that it can happen. And we were really thoughtful, Mona, but that's, I don't know, I don't want to go into left field, Vikram, but when you're thinking about starting a company with someone, there's some anxiety that comes up in you, right? I wish I had kept those messages, I may have, but we sent emails back and forth to each other of all this, like, what if you get divorced? What if I get divorced? What if this? We asked each other, like, have you ever been in a lawsuit? Would you ever sue someone? Like, these kinds of questions to know, like, can we trust each other, because it really is a marriage in many ways when you're starting a business with someone. And I think many people don't ask those questions. They hope for the best. And I didn't want to just be a wishful thinker. Mm-hmm. I wanted to actually kind of test the waters with Mona. So we had a lot of pretty deep conversations early on before we'd built anything.
Yeah. I would just say what you guys, to stack on what you're saying, is it is a marriage. It is a connection. It's a deep journey you're going to be on. And, you know, me and one of my business partners for the real estate company, we've been on it for almost 11 years now. So it's if you get it right, it's beautiful. If you get it wrong, it's very painful. And I've gotten it wrong on some, where we bring in some of the wrong folks into the companies, and it's pretty obvious. So I would say if I had to guess, you guys share the same core values and maybe the same mission and vision, and perhaps and I would also say you're complementary in certain things where you're not the identical. You're one person is probably more the visionary. One person is more the integrator, the person who gets all the trains running on time. But the other person is like, hey, this is the direction we need to move toward. So who's who?
I think,
yeah, we know.
Marissa, we've talked about this. Marissa's definitely the visionary. I'm more of the integrator, where I'm like kind of pulling her in, like, okay, we're focused on this. She's like, but all these things we have to accomplish. I'm like, we will accomplish those things in time.
But our Australian expansion. Easy now, Tiger.
Yeah. But it's fun and good. Yeah. Yeah. I think we really are very complimentary to each other, and we keep each other in check in a very respectful way. And we do have the same values, and we talk about our values and our company's values a lot, and how, you know, the person that is signing up to be with us doesn't necessarily want something like certainty, right? They don't want a defined future. They want to create that future, but they know that they're rolling with the punches. Anything could happen. And they're excited by the idea of opportunity and building something. And so we've talked about that, kind of that avatar, right? Of that someone that is in a direct pay practice that understands that they are, you know, they're going up against all these insurance-based practices and the traditional care model, but they're okay with that. They're okay with a little bit of risk and uncertainty.
So, you know, for their company, SuperDocTech, listeners, you know, the question really is, if they nail their avatar, which is just a customer phenotype, if you will, or just an ideal customer base, they will be highly successful. And I think they, from what I'm hearing, it's the direct patient care model, right? It's the person who's fee for service kind of thing, that's making, you know, a little more boutique, a little bit more niche, but they are able to serve a population. For example, one of my clients, she's an endocrinologist, and she has just a direct patient care model. They pay cash. They come in. It's some membership, some fee for service. And she has very few patients, but it's more than enough that she can't handle all of them, actually. And so I'm convincing her to eventually expand her services, involve, you know, a PA or NP, and eventually scale. But something like this, SuperDocTech, explain how that would work in a model, in a practice like that. How would that take a physician who's already doing quite well, but take that person to the next level? Perhaps give us like maybe the top 3 to 4 benefits, you think.
Yeah, all right, I'll take that. So one of the things is, as Mona was saying, many physicians get sold on expensive marketing deals by people who promise you search engine optimization and a, you know, beautiful website, whatever it is. People need to know that the number one thing that affects where you rank on a Google search of whatever specialty you're in is how many Google business reviews you have. Mm. Most physicians in private practice aren't doing much to get those Google business reviews. I know my dentist just put up a QR code at your checkout so you can like scan it and put in a thing. But what SuperDocTech allows you to do is automate a process. So every person who comes to you, every person who's ever come to you, gets asked via email and or text messages to do a Google review. And you can actually have them review it internally, reach out to those people who don't give you good reviews, and then request the positive Google review for them. So you can do, without spending any money, a way to get low-hanging fruit, right? The people who already are coming to your practice already are big fans of yours and love what you do. They're going to give you positive reviews, but are you asking? You're probably not. So it's going to help you ask without having to ask. You set up the automation and it's going to do the work for you until you've collected that. So that's number one.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Number two, Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Mona.
I was just going to piggyback off of that and say that as a practice owner who's successful, I think after a certain point, you realize that you really do need to be in the command center. You really do need to understand how the marketing works. You can't just rely on an agency to do it for you, because chances are you're not their only customer. They're focused on so many other things. And you're just a number to them in most cases, like this happened to me. So I think as you grow, you understand the value of understanding the internal operations of the marketing side of your practice and how valuable that is. And how, like Marissa was just saying, the customers that are already seeing you, they're going to give you good reviews. They're going to give you referrals. They're going to give you all that you need, probably. You don't necessarily need to get new customers after a certain point. It's just kind of doubling down on the ones that you do have. So I think as an established practice, you understand the value in the marketing.
Yeah. And since you don't take insurance, as the typical DPCs don't, then they don't have that steady flow of insurance patients. So it's all word of mouth, Google. So, you know, marketing was a four-letter word, you know, in the 1980s and 90s, but now in the 2000s and beyond, physicians are realizing it. They're just like any other service-based business, and they have to let people know, right? Obscurity is what kills practices. It's not bad care.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. You can be the best at what you do, but if nobody knows you, they won't find you. I'm actually working with a dear colleague of mine. He was a professor at UCLA where I trained. He is an amazing clinician, and he's offering a treatment for depression. He's one of four centers in the entire country that offers this treatment. That's the most effective treatment there is. And he had zero Google reviews before joining SuperDocTech. I was like, we have to help you. So that's an example, right? If you know you have something that's awesome and nobody knows about it, then you're not shining the light you were meant to shine, you know, and SuperDocTech is just here to help you do that.
But give me a couple more. You talked to me about the Google reviews. Give me a couple more. These are really good, by the way.
Yeah. For like that helps to get more people in the door, as Mona was saying. The other is if you already have enough people coming in your door, you might be struggling with managing them. SuperDocTech gives you access to an AI receptionist that can field up to 200 phone calls at once. Wow. It's amazing. So my AI receptionist for my small psychiatric practice never has to field 200 calls at once, but her name is Amy and I love Amy. So she's got this great personable voice. She's never taken a day off. She never gets sick. She's never moody. She's great. And I trained her. And she can schedule my prospective new patients into the 1 hour a week that I have left for free 15-minute meet and greet appointments. So I don't have to do any of that. People can call at any time of the day or night and schedule. They can do the same with the web chat widget that's on my website or through messaging that chat widget. So there's so many ways that it can help you go from, even if you're a full-time practice, a 40-hour open practice to a 168-hour a week open practice, which brings in so many more leads. Because again, if you think about the competition in the market now, if someone's looking for a new pediatrician for their kid and they don't have time to check until 7 p.m. on a Friday, and they call the first place and they get a voicemail, or they get a full voicemail, and then they call the second place and they get an AI receptionist who says, we'll call you back Monday morning, they're much more likely to stop calling once they've left a message with that AI receptionist.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's something that a lot of our clients have told us is that they may have one or two people sitting at the front desk answering the calls, but one, they can only answer one call at a time. Two, they're shifting what they're doing, right? So they may be talking about one client needs something scheduled. The next client needs a medication refill. So they're task switching all the time, which is an energy drain for them. Which makes that front desk job not so great. And so the AI receptionist is very complimentary to the front desk staff. So you never miss a lead when they're on lunch break or when they're fatigued, right? And then AI receptionists can deliver kind of a list of tasks or who called to your front desk so they can call them back in a manner that makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. They don't need to do all the medication refills immediately. Like maybe that can wait till the end of the day and they can batch their tasks and be a little bit more efficient and probably have higher job satisfaction. And then when you have someone that leaves your practice as a front desk staff member, you don't have to worry as much because you've got that, you know, catch-all with the AI receptionist.
So it's making your current people even better. It's enhancing their productivity. It's not like, oh, AI is going to steal my job. No, it's going to make your job even better. And you can operate a higher level because all the low-level stuff is handled by AI. So that's great.
Exactly.
And if I had to ask you guys, what's your secret sauce? There's a lot of competition in the space, as you know. What makes you guys so unique compared to anything else out there? What would you say is your you know, your magic pill, if you will?
I think for us, we would both agree it's our support. We have 3 live support calls a week, and they are casual. You come as you are, but we get a lot of tech stuff done. So if you say, you know, Mona, I need to build an automation to make it look like ManyChat, right? So text obesity on my Instagram, and I want you to send all my clients, you know, like a little PDF of, you know, 3 ways to lose weight. We'll set that up for you in the call. So you don't have to wonder how to use the tech that we're giving you, because a lot of people, they'll use High Level or some other service like it, and they get overwhelmed. They don't know how to use it. And that's not helpful. So we understand that we as physicians, we want to utilize the tech and then move on. So we have these support calls where we all come together and we go round robin with our clients and we say, what do you need help with? What do you need help with? And we just get it done. I mean, we've got amazing tech support, but we're physicians translating that support. So it's not just, you know, click here and do this and do that. It's more like, well, as a physician, how do you want this to look? How do you want this to feel? And so we do a lot of great work in those tech calls.
Yeah, it reminds me of, so you guys are sort of the Rosetta Stone for like these non-tech savvy docs.
Yeah.
And this, you know, sort of high V8 engine platform you guys have, but they may not know how to use it. And so the customization, the automations, and then that holding the hand from physician to, this is for physicians by physicians kind of thing.
Exactly. And I would add to that, I think the secret sauce, Vikram, is us. It's me and Mona. Most of the people who have come to us are essentially very much like us. They may not be the same gender, they may not be the same age, but basically we're all in the same boat where we have a vision to do something a little bit different, a little bit outside the box. We know we can make it happen. We've taken that leap and decided, I'm doing this and I'm in it for the long haul, and we're all supporting each other. So I think the main, you know, human values that we all have are growth and connection and contribution. And that's true for every member of our community right now too. So it's really just such a joy to work with Mona and to work with all of our members. It's really beautiful to see what everybody's building.
All right. And as we start wrapping up here, give me some, I'll ask each of you to give one piece of advice to an entrepreneur physician who's starting their practice.
I would say the best piece of advice would be to just start, make one decision at a time. Try not to get overwhelmed by 5 at one time, because all of your progress comes with consistency. So just keep making decisions. You're going to make the wrong decision here and there. It's okay. Keep going forward. But every decision you make is a step in the right direction of the person that you're becoming in this process. So just keep taking action.
How about you, Marissa?
Yeah, and I would say write down where you're going to be a year from now, 5 years from now. Like, have the vision in writing. I probably would have said 4 or 5 years ago that was really cheesy. And I thought the people who are manifesting things and making vision boards were delusional. but I don't think that anymore. I think it's actually so important.
It's a criteria.
Yeah, you have to visualize yourself as that version of yourself that you're becoming. It's already happened. You can see it. You know it's going to happen. Just like I know SuperDocTech is going to grow and take off and be super successful. And we're going to have so many success stories. We're going to come back on your podcast in a year, Vikram, and just tell you like how amazing it's been.
I already have like, 3 or 4 doctors who I want to send your way. But
yeah, great.
So I like the quote that Oprah had. And it was like, she's talked to all the most successful people in the world. And someone asked her, like, what do they all have in common? And she said, they know where they're going.
Yeah, know where you're going. So if you're, I think our ideal avatar is someone who's already taken that leap, the really painful, scary leap that took us 4 years, 5 years. It's that, yeah, maybe it takes you 10 years. That's a hard time like to get out of there. But once you're out and you've taken the mental decision and action to leave your W-2 job, or at least take action to build something that's yours, then build your brand. Think about what it's going to be. Write it down, have the vision, and then after that, it's just a matter of finding the right mentors and continuing, like Mona said, to take steps, take action every day, every week, every month. Don't stop. And then you'll get there. It's inevitable.
That's awesome. And then if I had to say, you know, sometimes to get to your dreams, you need a team. And I'm glad you guys found each other and you're building this all-star team.
Thank you.
At SuperDocTech. Congratulations, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, guys. And one last thing. What's the impact you want to have on the world? What's your unified impact?
Well, our goal is to serve 10,000 physicians and help them build the practice of their dreams to have a maximal impact of wellness and health in the world. I think that Although 2/3 of physicians statistically say they've thought about leaving their jobs in the last year, I don't think that that truly means 2/3 of physicians don't want to be practicing medicine. I think it's just that they're not practicing it in the way that they envisioned. And so I want to help people be able to do that.
That's awesome. Thank you, guys. And how can people find out more about your company and website? Yeah. And
superdoctech.com.
Okay. It's all one word, guys. superdoctech.com. It will be in the show notes as well. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Thanks again for supporting the podcast and all its growth and the YouTube channel. We really appreciate all the subscribes. And until next time, be phenomenal.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Limitless MD. If you found value from this episode, I encourage you to share this episode with a friend and let me know by leaving a review. For more information, make sure you check out the links in the show notes below or simply visit VikramRaya.com. Until next time, be phenomenal.